It's a troublesome thing when we look at our religious world today. We're just divided all over the place. There's different beliefs, different doctrines, different practices, different churches. And I can remember as a young man, as a non-believer, and that's what I grew up as, a non-believer, till I was in my 20s. But I looked around and I thought, does it make any difference? All of these so-called scholars, doctor this and doctor that, and you know, if they can't figure it out, how can I? And do I have to? Do I have to? Does it make any difference about any of these? Whether it's a different church or a different practice or a different doctrine or different belief? Does it make any difference what you believe? Well, I heard a lesson a few years ago. It would have been 1965. That's a few years ago. The preacher stood up and asked somewhat the same question. And he said, does it make any difference what you believe? And he reached underneath the pulpit and he pulled out a glass of clear liquid and set it up there. And he said, I would like someone to step up here and take a drink of this. It's water. Nobody moved. And he said, why aren't you coming up to get a drink? Don't you believe me? It's just water. Well, I think it is. It might be poison, but I believe it to be water. Now, would somebody please come up here and take a drink of this? Scratched his head and stepped back, and he looked around and he said, do you think it makes a difference what you believe? What is truth and what's not? Do you think that, well, it does in this case, doesn't it? There's nobody volunteering to take a drink of this and not knowing what it is. Do you know? And does it matter? Well, if you drink the liquid and it's poison, you're going to die. If the drink is just water, then you're refreshed. And does it matter? Sure it does. I mean, that's just basic common sense, right? You don't take a drink of something when you don't know what it is. Well, what about a business? You know, the old joke about my brother-in-law says he's got this really good business to go into. And he wants me to go out and take out a big loan and give him the money and he'll start this business and we'll make lots and lots of money. Just, you know, fail-proof. Well, you might believe it is. And he certainly believes it is. Does that guarantee it? Let me tell you, people have lost fortunes doing that kind of thing. Because it does make a difference. What's truth and what's not. When we're told, look, you must do something, it makes a difference whether we should or not. Doesn't it? If we have to. For example, in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. God's Word tells us that we must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must believe that. We don't have any choice. If we're going to have any relationship with God at all, we have to believe that He is God. It makes a difference. He's told us that we must do that. Jesus tells us basically the same thing in John the 8th chapter and verse number 24. He said, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. It's not good enough to just be a good guy, to be a nice person, to be a fantastic neighbor. always doing things to help your neighbors out. You know, that's not enough. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He said, you must do that because you're going to die in your sins if you don't. So it makes a difference. What about the truth? We're told in the same chapter, John 8, this time verse 32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not a lie. A truth makes you free. We have to know the truth. Is that glass sitting there full of poison or is it full of water? Or am I just going to leave it alone and not take a chance? Does it make a difference if we have to believe, if we must believe? Then it does. If there's an objective standard, if there's a fixed standard, then it makes a difference. You go to the grocery store, and we know how precious groceries are today. And there's a shelf that's got canned corn, 50 cents a can. And one right beside it says $2 a can. Which one are you going to buy? Well, if you're a smart shopper, you're going to look and say, what's the size? How much am I going to have to pay per ounce? And you figure it out because it makes a difference. Which one you're going to choose? There's a standard. We have a Bureau of Weights and Standards that says the can has got to be marked as to what size it is. And an ounce is an ounce is an ounce. A pound is a pound is a pound. You know the little stickers you see on the gas pumps? If you're wealthy enough to be able to stop at the gas station. That says that somebody has come there with a measure and measured out a gallon, and it's a gallon. I mean, this stuff's expensive enough without only getting 3/4 of a gallon when you think you're getting a gallon. It makes a difference because there's a fixed standard. If there's no sticker, you better not buy the gas because it may not be what you think it is. You may only be getting a half a gallon paid for a gallon. I'm pretty sure you're not getting 2 gallons and paying for a gallon. They don't make those kind of mistakes. A fixed standard says you must. You have to. Look in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to be going to verse number 13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. And we also believe and therefore speak. He says, what do I speak? What do I believe? I believe what's written. It's not up for me to decide as the preacher. You know, I think this is truth today and that'll be truth tomorrow and something else will be truth the next day. I mean, that's our society today. You know, our society says there is no standard. It's whatever feels good to me, that's for me, and whatever feels good for you, that's okay for you. And neither one of us are wrong, because it's truth for us. Truth for us. Paul says, according as it's written, I believe. There is a standard, and Paul says, I follow that standard. He's talking there about the Scriptures. And he says, as I believe, therefore I've spoken. And I believe, and therefore I speak. I have in the past spoken, I'm speaking now. And I do that because it's what's written. That's what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter 4, in verse number 11. He said, when you speak, speak as the oracles of God. You can't just make up your own truth. When you deliver something as truth, It has to be the Word of God, the oracles of God. It has to be the statement that God's made. That's a must. That's an objective standard. There is a truth, and everything else is false. If you're going to speak, speak as the oracles of God. Look in 1 Corinthians. This time I'm going to be going to the 14th chapter and verse 37. It said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. A commandment of the Lord. A commandment is something that we have to obey. Clark spent a few years in the Air Force. He can tell you, when an officer says, this is a command, you don't say, but sir, you know, I think there's a... You say, yes, sir, and you go do it as best you can. Have you ever had a command that you thought was pretty silly? Sure you have. We have that in the civilian world. Managers tell people under them to go do something, and you say, huh? They say, that's what I want. Okay, I'll do the best I can. Thinking all the time to yourself, not going to work. But I'm going to try. I'm going to do it. Because that's the guy that writes the checks. He's the boss. He's the one that's in command. If a man thinks himself to be a prophet or thinks himself to be spiritual, Paul says, let him acknowledge the things I write to you. These are the commands of the Lord. The commands of the Lord. We need to know there is such a thing as a standard. There is such a thing that when it's said, that's what I have to do. Go to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse number 13. Paul writing to this church. He says, for this cause we also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, what did they receive? The word of God. And where did they receive it? When they heard him. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh, effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul said, when I'm speaking by inspiration, it's not me, it's the Word of God. It makes a difference because there is a determinant that says, this is right. This is God's Word. This is what must be believed. It does make a difference. Zach called just a little bit ago, and he said, hey Don, what's the sermon tonight? I want to pick out the songs. And I said, does it make any difference? And there was dead silence on the phone. He thought I was being a smart aleck. And I was, in a way. But I said, no, that's the title. Doesn't make any difference. But, you know, I could have just as easily meant, you know, you're going to do what you want anyway, so does it make any difference what I tell you? But it does. It makes a difference. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. We need to know and understand there is such a thing as inspired Scripture. And we must believe it. Or else, we're in conflict with God. Does it make a difference? Well, look at what John tells us in the 8th chapter and verse number 24. He said, I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You believe in Christ, your sins are forgiven, salvation is yours. You don't believe in Christ, you die in your sins, and you can't go to heaven. It's just that simple. it makes a difference. We need to have that firmly etched in our minds. We ought to get it tattooed on the palm of our hands or something, to where it's there before us all the time. Get it on the palm, not on the back. I think it's ugly on the back, but that's personal preference. It makes a difference whether we believe or we don't. That's not the only time the Bible tells us that. If you'd like to go to 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, about verse 10, I'm going to read down through verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. He says, it's a lie that you're following if you're deceived. Period. If you're not following God's word, it's a deception. It's a delusion. And why is that important? Because you don't love the truth if you're following a lie. If you're following a delusion. Verse 11 tells us it can be so bad that you believe the lie. And that may be for a lot of reasons. You may like the person saying it. You may think that's somebody that you ought to follow after. And whatever they say, that's the truth. Paul said, look, I commend those of Berea. And he was an inspired man. What did he commend them for? He commended them because they searched the scriptures to see whether or not what he was preaching was the truth. We cannot, just because somebody says something, follow it. There's no excuse for believing a lie. There's no excuse for following the lie. Verse 12 goes on so far as to say, you don't believe the truth. Get your head on so straight, so solid, this is what I believe. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with any arguments. This is what I believe. I don't want to hear it. You ever run into that person? Man, I have. Just, they got blinders on. They only see one thing, and it's not the truth, and they won't listen. Paul said, those are the folks who have pleasure in unrighteousness, verse 12. And if you have pleasure in unrighteousness, he said, verse 12, you'll be damned. You'll be damned. You'll be condemned, the New King James puts it. As a matter of fact, we're told up verse number 10 that we'll perish. Does it make a difference? That sounds to me like it does. You start talking about me perishing. You talk about me being condemned. You talk about me being damned if I don't do something. I believe I'm going to try real hard to do it. Wouldn't you? That's pretty strong language. There's a wonderful story in 1 Kings 13 that I really would love to take the time to go through and do the whole thing, but I'm not going to. The story is told of a prophet who comes to the town. He was from out of Judah. He comes to the north, and he cries against the altar in verse number 2. And King Jeroboam is quite upset, and the altar is torn down, the ashes pour out, and the man's ready to leave. He'd done his job. He's told in verse number 9, said, so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way. And he returned not by the way that he came to Bethel, doing exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, in verse number 11, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words that he had spoken to the king, they also told to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons have seen what way the man went, came out of Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. And they saddled the ass, and he rode thereon. We get down to verse 15. He says to this man, he said, you come home with me and eat bread. The young man says to him, you know, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. He had already told the king, if you gave me half your kingdom, I wouldn't do it. Rock solid, he's going to do what he's supposed to do. He said, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. It's said to me by the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to come by the way that thou camest. And the old man said to him, I'm also a prophet, as you are. Also a prophet, as you are. And he says, an angel spoke to me. Spoke the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into a house that he may eat bread and drink water. But the old man lied to him, as it says in verse number 18. You remember what I said a little while ago about what Paul said? Search the scriptures. Search God's word, whether it's right. He had been told by God himself, don't do this. Now somebody comes and says, well, an angel came and told me, so you ought to go do it. That justifies it, right? That excuses him. He's doing what he thinks. Said he came to pass. They sat at the table. The word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried to the man of God, came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but you came back and eaten bread and drunk water in a place which the Lord did not say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers. Basically what he's saying, son, you're not going to make it home. You're going to die right here. You're not going to get back to your hometown where you can be buried with your family. You're not going to get to the sepulcher of your father. And it said it came to pass after he'd eat bread and after he'd drunk that he saddled him for the ass, to wit, that the prophet had brought him back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And men passed by, and they saw that carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it's the man of God. Now listen to how he describes him. This is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of God. Disobedient to the word of God. Therefore, the Lord delivered him unto the lion, which tore him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to him. But wait a minute. What he obeyed was the old prophet. A prophet who claimed a message from God. So does it make a list difference who we listen to? Did for this guy. He was listening to somebody who claimed to speak for God. But he lied. And the prophet, the one who was so firm that he turned down half the kingdom, so solid, I'm going home a different way. Fell for a lie. Fell for a lie. Folks, it makes a difference what we believe. Because it makes a difference what we do. And what we do is affected by what we believe. I mean, if it makes no difference what we believe, I could be up here handling snakes. Now, I won't tell you, there'd be a door right through there. Somebody comes at me handing me a snake. Because I'm not into snakes. No. Not going to happen. It doesn't make any difference. What we do is worship. If it doesn't make any difference what we believe. Folks, our practices, not just our beliefs, but our practices must be authorized by God. In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, the Hebrew writer tells us that we're to do things according to the pattern. Not just according to the way we think it might be nice to do, but we're to do it according to the pattern. 8 and 5, Hebrews 8 and verse number 5. He said, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. Hebrews 8, 5. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. What made the temple, the tabernacle, right? They did it according to the pattern. God told them how to do it, and they did it. That's what Paul's talking about in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 17. He says, whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, according to the Lord's command, the way He wants it to be done. That's why we're told in 2 John 9. Let's turn there for a minute. Let's look at 2 John 9, because I think that's something that we need to spend a few seconds looking at. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, if we don't follow in the doctrine of Christ, we don't even have God. But, he said, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, standing there on the judgment day, do you want to have God on your side? The Father and the Son? Or you want to be standing over on the other side where you're not even recognized by God and the Father? Seems to me I'd rather be where God and the Father are, where Jesus is. I'd rather be within the doctrine of Christ. You see, the difference in our practices affect our fellowship. Our fellowship with God. I can't be where God is if I'm not in the doctrine of Christ, because that's where He is. I don't care how bad you hunt and you search. Right now, you can't have anything to do with Don Treadway if you're up at Polaris walking through the mall. You can hunt in every store up there. Walk in and out and up and down the aisles. You can walk on every floor of the store, you can search and search and search. You'll not find me up there. Because I'm not there. If you're not in the doctrine of Christ, then you don't have God. He's not where you are. Or maybe I ought to say you're not where He is. Because He's never moved. He's where He's always been. We need to know and understand it makes a difference. Because it affects our fellowship with God, what we do. It's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verse 22 and 23, where He tells us that what we believe and what we do affects where we end up in the judgment day. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me on that day, and He's talking about the judgment day, He said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And listen to what Jesus will say. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Now, who's he talking about? Verse 21 said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you want heaven as your home, then you're going to do what God says. It makes a difference. If it doesn't make a difference, it doesn't matter what we believe, doesn't matter whether or not we believe the Bible, because what the Bible says is unimportant. What God says is unimportant. And where we spend eternity is unimportant. But if it does make a difference, and brethren, it does, I need to know the truth. John 8, verse 32. Because the truth will make me free. I need to examine and study what I'm being taught. John 17, verse 11, where Paul's commending the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily to see whether or not the things were so. I need to obey the truth. 1 Peter 1, and verse number 22, where our souls are saved by obeying the truth. So, does it make a difference? I certainly hope you agree with me. It does. The question is, are you doing it? Are you obeying the truth? Because, you know, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to know the truth and not obey the truth. James tells us very plainly in James, the second chapter, that faith without works is dead. You can believe the truth, and that's great. Wonderful to believe the truth. Faith without works, though, is dead. He said, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Does your life show that you believe? I'm not talking about your words. I'm talking about, does your life show that you believe? Can your co-workers, your neighbors, your family, your mates, your children, your parents, can they look at you and say, yeah, that's a believer. There's no question of that. And then they say, well, yeah, sometimes, but, you know, not all the time. That maybe even most of the time, but not all the time. Do you believe? Does it make a difference? Heaven or hell, does it make a difference? Please, let us help you if we can. Let's do it right now, while we stand and while we sing.